It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're getting closer and closer to football, which I am getting ready for. Not full on.
Are you ready for some football?
No, not there. That's like a tomorrow
thing. I'm just answering Jonathan Davis's question.
Yeah.
A very poignant question at the start of every show. I am, in fact, ready. I'm certainly ready for football. We're just one sleep away from the NFL season kicking off, by the way.
One sleep.
Well, not in my house. Yeah, I spoke about this.
Right.
We don't sleep anymore
because
of the one daughter.
My one sleep was two years ago.
Ideally, one sleep. For most people listening, one sleep away from the NFL season.
That's nice, though. You can get extra time to wake up and kind of set your lineup before the first game tomorrow.
I have all the time in the world.
Yep. You already put in bets? I've already put in like a bunch of bets for the game.
No. You know what I'm looking more at is the Friday game. I like kind of the Friday game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Packer
money line. A lot of Brazilian pride is what it is.
I'm thinking Packer money line, but that's neither here nor there.
Wow.
You got a little juice on that. +122.
I've already plunked down a few bets.
On Chiefs tomorrow?
I don't have much going on in the fantasy world. It's like touchdown bets, things like this.
That's fun.
Individual props.
That's great. I love it.
I love
an indie prop.
You want like a Derrick Henry 2-touchdown prop.
No.
It's
too much.
You don't. What do you mean?
Derrick Henry 2 touchdowns.
You got to wet your beak a little bit.
That's
you know what I mean? You can't
that's
just
fun.
Get in there for +105.
Good juice on the
+115. Oh.
What's it with that? Plus what?
It depends on where you shop.
Okay.
500?
+500 for 2 tugs?
550?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sold.
It's not bad.
Now in on this.
Over under 2 tugs for the Patriots in their first game.
I'm going to go under, Jones.
Probably thinking under. One of the things we'll get into here today on Jones and Keith. A lot of ways you can consume the show. You can follow on Twitter. And Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI or on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI there. Just ways to interact and watch live. The season is almost here. We asked Hunter Henry about this yesterday. We asked Christian Gonzalez, who I thought gave just a strapped down,
crushed it,
electric answer about the Patriots and what makes for a successful year. I think Curtis asked Gerard Mayo about this yesterday, too. Which kind of got our thoughts going on that. That's what you heard in the open before Jonathan Davis kicked in the doors.
Sure did.
So what makes for a successful 2024 season for the Patriots?
So I think it's pretty simple, and it really has nothing to do with wins and losses. Some people might choose to answer it that way and feel free.
It's got something to do with
wins. I don't think it does. I think if the young guys play well, and we'll start with Drake May. I know he's not starting week one. At some point, we are going to see him, I truly believe. And as long as he plays a little bit better than Bryce Young, I think I'll be in good shape. I'm not asking for C.J. Stroud.
Wow.
I don't even need that much. I don't need him to be, like, amazing because I know it's pretty limited around him.
Bryce Young was not amazing.
He was not.
No.
He needs to be better.
Yeah.
So I'm not just saying, hey, you need to go out there and take a snap. Like, I'm not going to be Dan Orlovsky being like, look at when he handed the ball off. Look how smooth that was. No, I want him to play well, but I also think setting a C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert level is too high. It's too much. And you can still come back and be better in the second year, even if that's not what you do as a rookie. So I want to see Drake May sooner rather than later, and you want to see him be competent. Maybe as important, because we don't know when we're going to see him, is the rookies, like the wide receivers, I should say. Polk and Baker. The Patriots have chosen as an organization, whether it be Bill or Elliott Wolf or Robert Kraft, to not pay top end for wide receivers. You're seeing guys left, right, and center sign massive, massive contracts, and they are not partaking in that. So how do you find a blue chip elite wide receiver? I guess you have to draft them. If you're not going to sign him, you're not going to make a big trade for him, you have to draft him. And do we at least see enough flashes from Polk and Baker? Does Baker even make it through the year? I mean, we didn't talk a lot about his Instagram
thing yesterday,
but
no.
It doesn't seem great, right? Like, his reaction to being drafted, which I was a fan of, but it already got people kind of like, okay, what about this guy?
See, that to me was harmless.
I think so, but maybe it's also a little bit of
an indication,
keep an eye on.
Indication he's got no filter, and he doesn't think before he speaks.
And I think he has a much better chance of surviving here under Mayo than he would have under Belichick. Not that Belichick wouldn't have taken him. I think that's sort of a misnomer. Look at all the characters that Bill Belichick brought in. Like, a ton of guys.
Tons
of guys. And so he might have drafted Baker because it was good value in the fourth round. But what kind of player is he going to be? He's already been disciplined by the team before the first game. Right? And, like, you know me, I like these guys. Like, give me as many knuckleheads as possible and figure it out. Give me the talented guys. But that's not a great start. But I think Polk, Baker, I'd add Pop Douglas to the list as a second-year guy. It's, to me, really about the young guys. And at the end of the year, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins – but at least if they're, you know, the arrow is up on them and we go into next offseason being like, well, quarterback's not a need. Wide receiver 1's not a need. Wide receiver 2's not a need. Then I would look at that as a real big-time success.
Okay. So what's a successful year for the Patriots? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. You can also text the program at 37937. Win's not important to you.
Not for me. Drake not this
May,
year.
Drake May playing early.
Yeah.
Outperforming Bryce Young.
Low bar for your boy over here.
That is not much of a bar.
No, it's not.
And you want these young receivers to show some promise.
Yep.
Okay.
What about you?
So that's Keefe's list. Wins to me are important.
Okay.
And like we're talking about a successful year. I expect them to win 6. I'm over 4.5 wins.
6?
I've been at 6.
Oh, Jones.
I've been at
You're
6 all year.
You're on drugs and alcohol right now. 6 wins?
I'll be honest. I was kind of hoping for a Ty Law shot in the crossover, and I didn't get one.
I don't know why I didn't leave the booze here. Leave the booze.
Yes, leave it out.
We should have like a little booze station over here.
Well, it's a radio station, so you know what happens. You start leaving stuff out.
It's gone.
It's gone like you read about it.
It is gone.
And so I no Ty Law shot for me. I've been on 6 wins for a while.
6 wins.
I think the absence of Mac and Bill, for as bad as this team...
Mississippi 2, Mississippi 3, Mississippi 4, Mississippi 5, Mississippi 6, Mississippi 7, Mississippi 8, Mississippi...
That's a fine beverage.
Yeah. Well, Long Island iced tea. What were you making there?
That might have been a Long Island iced tea.
It sounds like a Long Island iced tea.
Or a sangria. I did a nice sangria one time.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. Right, go ahead. So I've been at 6 wins. I think the absence of Bill and Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac for sure.
That dysfunction, as untalented as this team is, and as much of a disaster as they look like on the offensive line, I still think the absence of that dysfunction gives you a couple of wins. So
what if I
have him at 6?
What if I swapped out Mac Jones for Jacoby Brissett and I swapped out Bill Belichick for Jerron Mayo?
Well, I'm expecting May to play, though, at some point. Okay. I'm not expecting 17 games of Jacoby Brissett. Yep. I would revise my win total there.
Sure.
But I think May's in play starting week 2, as we've talked about.
Yeah,
I think he should have started week 1.
Yep.
So I'm already at 6 wins. That's what I think they're going to do. So what's a successful year? 8 or 9. And they're a competitive team. And they start well.
Wait, 8 or 9 wins?
Is a successful year,
yes. I mean, that is like a shockingly, like, holy smokes kind of season.
Yeah.
Because the Vegas over-under
like,
is 4.5, right?
We're going to celebrate a successful year as Drake May just being better than Bryce Young?
Oh, I have lowered the bar.
That is such
greatly.
A low bar.
Oh, it's insane.
Okay.
It's an insanely low bar.
So you have a low bar. Maybe I have a high bar.
That's what it is. The uneven bars. You and me, we're the uneven bars.
Average out those bars.
That's
and
us.
Now all of a sudden, you know, you're over here, I'm over there.
That's right.
The uneven bars. Level
so split
them out.
The difference. I think they're going to win 3. I think we did the win-loss thing earlier.
So you're under 4.5.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm squarely under 4.5.
I'm over 4.5. I bet it. And so 6 wins to me is what I think is going to happen. 8 or 9 would be successful. And I want 2 in September. I want 2 early.
Ooh.
I don't want a 1-3. I'd take a 1-3 start. I don't
I was
want
to say what
I don't
are the
want
two likely
4.
Wins there.
I don't want 0-4. I think Seattle's
a must
Seattle
win.
Is
in
a
your
very,
scenario, it's a must win.
Seattle and the Jets, I think, are very winnable games. They're not
That's
beating
right. You're
the
down
Niners.
On the Jets. I forgot.
I kind of think the Bengals are a little more in play than I was giving it credit for.
You
in
know what?
Play. That doesn't mean I'm predicting it.
No,
but
no.
In play.
Well, that's because they famously, and everybody's on this now, they've had really slow starts to the year. And Jamar Chase, like, if you don't have Jamar Chase, that is a massive difference.
Have you seen the line movement? I sent this last night. Perhaps it's updated, and I heard Shine mention this morning.
Well, okay.
The line, 8.5 to 7. So I had seen that it was at 9.5, maybe to open.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's all the way down to 7.5. Vegas does not think Jamar Chase is playing in this game. Like, that to me is an indication that Chase is out.
Yep.
And so I think the Bengals game is winnable. I'm not predicting a win. I'm not saying they're going to win. But it's a winnable game.
Is.
The Niners, I don't see how they win that. That is not a winnable game. Bengals is winnable. I think they're going to beat the Seahawks, and I think that Jets game is winnable. So I need 8 or 9 wins. I need 2 early, like 2 in September. Don't start 0-4.
Problem is,
don't start way behind the 8-ball.
If you get 2 in the first month, does that push?
Does it keep reset?
Yes.
It might.
That would be a sort of a concern.
It might.
Long term.
But if they win 8 games with Jacoby Brissett, the year's a success. Like, that's a successful year.
I view it differently.
Because May doesn't play?
Yes. Because I need to see Drake May. I know there's a, it's very polarizing, that topic. I know Boomer Esiason was on this morning, and he is of the, you know, let the guy sit. You don't want to screw him up. And there's a lot of people of that camp. I'm of the play the rookie. And the beauty of it is, over the last, even just 10 years, let alone the history of football, we all have examples to go to our
argument. We all just yell examples
like, well,
at each other.
Cam played right away, and he was great. Baker Mayfield was great right away. And then they'd be like, well, Patrick Mahomes, you don't know that Aaron Rodgers didn't play.
Right.
Like, so people just scream at each other just names, right? And you're like, well, that guy didn't play. That guy did play.
I like that game, though.
So I want Drake May to play. People don't. I think if they win 8 games, that to me is good news for Jerod Mayo, if not great news, or great news for Jerod Mayo. Long-term for the future, you now have a middle to late first round pick. You have not seen Drake May play at all season. I don't know if you're really set up for the future.
I would
future.
Still call it a success. If they win 8 games with Brissett, I'd be like, man, they got something going on. I'd be frustrated about May.
Okay.
My scenario also allows that May's the one winning all these games.
Well,
Brissett gets bombarded
success.
Week one.
Yeah, yeah,
May's in week
yeah.
two. He beats the Seahawks. He picks up another game. They win 8 or 9 games. I'm not telling you who's starting.
Yep.
8 or 9 wins, give me 2 in September. They need to be a competent offense. This, I think, is a low bar. A competent offense.
Properly.
So here's my line of demarcation if you need one. Last year, I think it was the Bengals were the 16th offense in terms of points per game. Now, that was without Burrow for half the year.
Yeah, right.
21,
Jake Browning.
21.5 points a game. Get me 21, 22 points a game.
On
where
offense?
You're a middling. Well, these are total points.
Oh, okay.
Mix in a special teams touchdown.
Say, they're gonna need special teams maybe, and defense maybe.
In a defensive score. I need you averaging 21, 22 a game. You need to look competent on offense. I can't do another year where you're the worst offense in football. You can't move it. You can't kick field goals when you finally do move it. Your defense is shutting people down, and you're not scoring. You're turning it over. You can't line up properly. Penalty, penalty, penalty. I can't watch another year like that. You need to be competent. Not great. Not even good. Certainly not elite.
Yeah.
You need to be competent on offense, middle of the pack, middle of the road. Give me 21, if you want a specific number, 21.5 points a game. That's my over-under.
So offensive ranks points per game since Tom Brady left.
Mm-hmm.
They were 27th with Cam Newton.
Not going to cut it.
6th. With Mac Jones.
Sign up for that. That's too lofty.
That's insane. I mean, they did have a couple games where they scored like 50 points.
Yeah, the Jaguars game late.
Whatever.
Those still, Jets games.
Still 6th.
Yep.
And then Matt Patricia, believe it or not, 17th.
Okay.
As bad as it felt that year, they were 17th in points.
That's the number right there.
And then last year with Bill O'Brien, they were 31st. So they were 31st in offense
last year. I don't like this revisionist history about like, oh my God, should they have kept Bill O'Brien?
No.
Hell no.
No, no,
he ran 55 times the other day in college.
Right.
That works in college.
Yeah.
I don't need
Sometimes.
Bill O'Brien. I do not need.
It works against a bad Florida State team.
Bill O'Brien's offense stinks.
No, I don't need it.
Even though they beat Florida State, that's proof of it. You ran 55 times? I don't want that in 2024.
I don't. Although Van Pelt might run it 35 times. Van Pelt likes to run the ball too.
Fine. Yeah. But 17, the Patricia year. Like
middle of the pack offense. You
know
what?
That was awful.
I also thought that was too lofty a goal, but maybe it's not. I mean, if Mac Jones basically spearheaded a top 10 offense 1 year and then a middle of the pack offense, that was also a year where we saw Zappy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's also a 10 win team and an 8 win team, which didn't really feel like it. I know the 10 win team had like the really high highs at one point, and then the bottom kind of fell out on them. But then the following year, they still somehow scrapped together an 8-9 win team. And that's where I do think some of just Belichick's coaching. I'm with everybody else. I had a lot of problems with his drafting, and I don't think he was this huge advantage week in and week out as a tactician anymore, but I still think he was better than most. Like, I think if you're like ranking all the head coaches, just game day coaching, I think he was still a plus value where I don't know about Mayo. We'll see. Maybe Mayo's good. Maybe he's not. I have no idea.
Definitely don't know about Jerod Mayo. So the other thing on my list, get a big pelt or two. I think Andrew Callahan and the Boston Herald's been big on this. And so who are those? Cincinnati week one would be a bit. That's a signature win.
They get a lot of options here.
Niners
yep.
would be a. I don't think it's going to happen, but like a win like that. Even the Texans.
I think any division win you could look at as a nice win for
them.
So I like the Jets more than you, so I think any of those games are good wins.
They all probably count. They beat the Bills last year, so I would like it. I would like it to be a non-divisional game, but I'm not going to kick and scream if they beat the Bills. I'm not going to kick and scream if they beat the Dolphins. You go back to Drew Bledsoe's rookie year. I want to say they beat Miami late in that season.
You know what would be fun is we all are praying that Drake May is at least the starter by week 10 when they play Caleb Williams. But if you have a Caleb Williams head-to-head game with Drake May,
Drake May outperforms him.
And he outperforms them, and everybody's like, well, look at Caleb Williams is the one with the wide receivers, the tight end, and the running back. Drake May doesn't have that, and he still beat him in Chicago. Well, that'd be a nice win.
Okay, so look, add that to the list. Whatever you define as a big pelt. Those are my three: Bengals, Niners, Texans. I don't love the divisional games. Maybe I should have thought more about Chicago. I like that. I need 8 or 9 wins and a competent offense. And that's a successful year. That's not the lowest bar, just clear the low bar. It's a passable year. That, to me, is a successful year.
I just want all the guys to have fun and not get hurt. That's what I'm looking for this year.
That's basically Mayo said to Greg yesterday. That's basically what he said.
He did. If they have orange slices at halftime, like, I think as long as these guys, you know, are thrilled to be back for next year.
Competitive every week.
Yeah.
I think that's what he said.
He did.
Which is the opposite of the Red Sox. You know, they've just thrown in the towel. So I guess I get what he's saying. Be competitive every week. Yeah. Throughout the entire year.
Red Sox have had a different approach recently.
That's his bar. So what makes for a successful year for the Patriots? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Text at 37937. I like these already.
Yep.
Jones, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But I hope you're right.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, that's a lot of wins.
That's something.
This team wins 8 games. Gerard Mayo is going to be coach of the year.
Jones, you're delusional.
Agreed.
Okay. Well, so you look, that's a successful year to me.
Not
a passable year.
No, but so there's also, but he might say you're delusional because you're saying 8 wins is a successful year, but you're also predicting 6.
Correct.
Both delusional.
Yeah. I see. Those are both crazy.
I think he's responding to both.
Okay. He can be responding to everything all at once. That's true. So we have a lot coming up on the program today. Is this technically an emergency Kiefer Madness? Can I put the tag on that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Because typically we're going to do them on Tuesdays. But then again, the madness finds you. You're like, we're not going to sit on this for a week. Okay. So we got one today.
We got emergency Kiefer Madness at 12:45. We have Would You Rather on a Wednesday at 11:20. We will get to the Red Sox falling apart. Rafael Devers blowing off the media.
Yeesh.
We'll get to Brad Marchand, who is squawking, kind of, about his contract, maybe taking a shot at another Bruin. How many contract issues do they have on hand? Plus all your phone calls again at 617-779-7937. First, we have Trending with Billy Lanny, and we'll get back with players not named Drake May to get excited about on this Patriots team. Are there any? We put together some lists, so we'll get to it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What, in your estimation, does a successful season look like for the Pats?
I think beating the Bengals this weekend, starting with that. I'm not really looking too far ahead of that. Just starting 1-0 and trying to attack each week. You can't get too far ahead of yourself in any season, either too high or too low. There's going to be adversity that comes. There's going to be good things that come. Can't ride the wave. We've got to be as consistent as we can as a football team. I got to be consistent as I can as a football player. So it just starts this weekend playing the Bengals, trying to attack this week and put ourselves in a good position to win this football game.
Hunter Henry yesterday here on Jones and Keefe. Check that out on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free. Easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also watch that full interview on YouTube. All part of Patriots Monday each and every week here on WEEI. I'll agree with Hunter Henry on this. I'm looking at it a little more than a one-week snapshot, but part of what makes a successful year for me is getting one of those signature wins, a big pelt.
Yeah.
And put that on the board. The Bengals are one of those teams. So go beat Cincinnati this weekend, which I think is a winnable game. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not predicting a win. No. I might take the Pats on the points depending on where it winds
yeah,
up.
Maybe.
But
maybe.
I'm not predicting a win. I just think it's a winnable game. There are some games on the schedule, the Niners. They have no shot. That is not a winnable game. I don't see a pathway to them winning that game. But the Bengals, the Seahawks, the Jets in the first month, I think those are all winnable games.
You know what's funny? The bad teams every single year, like there's only, what, twice that teams have gone winless. So even teams that are bad, and the Patriots are bad, they're going to be underdogs in every single game this year, most likely, barring some big quarterback injury or something like that.
Well, they are, right now they already are, right?
They're
an underdog in every single
game. Saying, now
it
could change.
They probably will be, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you play, you know, say Trevor Lawrence goes down, maybe the Jack, well, whatever. But yeah, as of right now, they are the underdogs. So last year, the worst team in the league was the Carolina Panthers. They went 2-15. One of their wins was against the division-winning Houston Texans, who won 10 games.
Nice.
So, like, that happens, you know? And
the
so
big belt?
It's a big one. They can put that in. They can raise a banner.
Yeah.
Carolina.
Yeah.
Look at this. We beat a playoff team. But, like, that happens. That stuff happens all the time. And you always look back on teams that either just made the playoffs or just missed the playoffs, and you're like, if you'd beaten, you know, Carolina, or, like, you guys couldn't beat New England and you didn't get into the playoffs – I mean, the Pats last year beat Buffalo, which was a division winner.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that stuff happens all the time. And that is one of the things when you have a really tough schedule that the Patriots do, almost every week you have an opportunity to kind of play spoiler because almost everybody else on their schedule at least is starting the season thinking playoffs.
So we're going to give you three reasons each, three players each, aside from Drake May. To get excited about for the Patriots, which it's hard. Some of us are scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
A little bit.
But we're going to reach to figure that out. Just before we do that, Keith, give me your reasons for a successful year again. Recap that real quick.
So to me, it's all about the young guys. We're going to highlight some of these young guys here coming up, but it's really the developmental of the young guys. And it almost is similar to the first couple of years of Mac Jones. You were hoping that by the end of the year, you could say, all right, we have a quarterback for next year, or you know, pick another player. So to me, it's the young wide receivers that they invested in the draft, and it's Drake May. At the end of the year, are you saying, all right, we need to beef up here, here, and here, but not those spots. Like, we feel good about those spots and some of the young guys on defense. I honestly, for this year, and it's weird to say as just a sports fan, I don't think the win total matters. Like, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm not saying they should tank or anything like that. You want to develop the guys that you have, because 2025, they should be one of the teams that has a real chance at a wild card spot. So how do you get there? You make sure these guys are getting better and better as the season goes on for this year.
Okay. Young player development for Keith. I want 8 or 9 wins. I think they're going to win 6. I want 8 or 9 for a successful year. I want 2 in September. I want a competent offense, 21, 22 points a game. That was middle of the pack last year. And I want a big win or 2. Bengals, Niners, Texans. Text line 37937. I've heard a lot of bad Jones takes over the years.
Thanks for listening.
That's true. There is a litany of those.
Dime a dozen.
But the idea they could win against the Bengals is one of the most preposterous ones yet. That line has moved a lot. They went from 9.5-point underdogs to 7.5.
So I don't think they're beating the Bengals, but I also think it's not as laughable as it's been made out, right? Because the Bengals have had a lot of slow starts to the season. And if Jamar Chase
isn't
playing,
that's like, huge.
That's massive. And, you know, they got a. We just see it all the time, and not just the Bengals, but there are good teams that just aren't ready to go week one for whatever reason. They just kind of fall asleep. Maybe they're expecting to be better than they are, or also playing down to an opponent right off the rip. They're thinking, all right, we got the Patriots week one at home. Like, all right, maybe they come out slow. I'm not going to put money on the Patriots money line, but I also don't think it's, like, insane.
Okay. You can jump in on this. Week one against the Bengals. Any shot for the Pats? What's a successful year for New England this year? 617-779-7937. Let's start it off today with Eric and Newton. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to let you guys know, the Patriots, although they might, you know, seem like a better team than they were last year, that's where the difference with the head coach. I feel like Belichick was better at having the players ready for the game, where with Gerard Mayo, you know, we clearly don't know that. And with the Drake May conversation is, I do think, you know, we all want to see, you know, the rookie play. But at the same time, when people bring up the Herberts and C.J. Stroud, those guys came in to those teams. They had veterans, you know, receivers or, you know, at least
not
a better
Stroud.
Offensive line.
Not Stroud.
That nature.
Not Stroud.
Stroud didn't make, you know, but he did have, you know, he did, you know, have, you know, like Tank Dell was a rookie. You know, Nico Collins, he did, you know, make them look great. But I just feel like they were still in better positions than Drake May would be. If Drake May is starting, like, I see Jacoby getting hurt by like week 6 just due to he's going to have to be mobile with the O-line he has. They're going to have to set up plays where he's moving to make some passes. And I just think with, you know, Gerard Mayo, I don't think he is going to be our future head coach. I just think he's going to rebuild our team. I guarantee you by the time Drake May becomes, you know, who we think he should be, they're going to find a new head coach and, you know, move on from Gerard Mayo. So okay. I just think this is going to be, you know, a rebuild year. I do not see the Patriots winning 6 or 8 games. I see it definitely being under. I see us being another top 5 team in a draft next year.
Okay, so Eric, you're with Rich. That's fine. If Drake May doesn't develop that way, Mayo's not going to last long. So I think those two are, you know, connected in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they are. And I think, you know, this is something that we've talked about off and on throughout the whole process with the rookie quarterback and the ones that were good as rookies, the ones that weren't, and the ones that actually got better later on. And one thing that has been kind of true is there's a major change. Like if it doesn't work as a rookie for a quarterback, either the play caller, the number one wide receiver, or both change, right? So like Tua kind of up and down, then he gets Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel, right? Like Steph Diggs joins Josh Allen. That made a huge difference for him. Jalen Hurts got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. So these young quarterbacks that were like okay as rookies or second year guys, they got like a lot of help on the way. So if Drake May's not anywhere good this year, I can't imagine that it's Alex Van Pelt and Polk and Pop Douglas as his main guys.
No, but like if May's not good this year, Van Pelt could lose his job. And then if May's not good next year, Mayo could be out of a job, but then you've got a couple of bad years with Drake May. So I don't know that they're as separate as the caller is making it out to mm-hmm. be. But you want to take the under on 4.5, that's fine. That's a popular pick. Who are three players not named Drake May? Because yep. we'd all answer Drake May. Duh, obvious. We all want to see him. He's worth getting excited about, we think. Three players not named Drake May you're excited about.
All right, friend of the show, Christian Gonzalez. You can hear him on Patriots Mondays right here on Jones and Keefe. If you missed yesterday's, you missed the doozy, check out the Odyssey app for that. But played 3.5 games or whatever it was last year, was defensive rookie of the month at a premium position. It looked like a first-round pick that maybe Bill Belichick hit on. Very early, very small sample size. I loved the pick at the time. Thought he was the best corner coming out of the draft. They got him in the middle of the first round. And a big corner, like sort of what he's talking about. Like, there's not a lot of these big corners. He has the ability to be a shutdown guy. But will he be? Will he be for the long haul? It was not a great camp. Like every time I was reading reports out of camp, it was like Tyquan Thornton with a touchdown beating Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, you don't want to see that.
No, you don't want to see it at all. And even without Jamar Chase, you're going to see T. Higgins coming up on Sunday. There's a million good receivers. Seattle has two. New York has two or one. San Francisco has two. Miami has two. Like every team they play has good receivers. There's going to be good matchups. Yes, he's going to give up some touchdowns, but can he hold his own? Can he look like a top 10 cornerback? Then that's huge. So I think Christian Gonzalez is an obvious guy to have an eye on all year.
Okay. You got two more?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Jalen Polk, second-round pick wide receiver, one of the big reasons or one of the guys I'm looking at most for next year. Like, have a good rookie year, have a good foundation, but is he somebody that you can count on and is guaranteed? And when we're doing the offseason exercise, like, hey, what are the skill guys look like in New England, or what's the wide receiver room look like? You're like, well, they got Jalen Polk. Like, I hope that's what the answer is by the end of the year. And then the other one would be Keon White, who famously looked pissed when he got drafted, which is one of my favorite moments of the draft in the last couple of years. But no Barmore for at least who knows how long. Matt Judon's out of town. So if the defense is still going to be good and if they're going to win some games on defense, I think he's going to have a monster year.
He's got to be a factor.
Yeah, big time. We're going to have to hear his name a lot.
And look, so you have a rookie and 2 second-year players yep. on your list. Now, I would have all those guys as players to get excited about as well. I'm excited about the Antonio Gibson factor. I think he's a nice complement to Ramondre Stevenson. I think he's a guy who can catch passes. He's been a productive back in the league before. I think that was a nice signing for
Zeke
Elliott Wolf.
Was sneaky good last year.
Yeah.
And so, like, he is a loss. So, can he do that and a little bit more?
Antonio Gibson.
Wasn't Zeke their leading receiver
last year? Oh, yes. Probably. Yes, in terms of receptions, he actually
catches,
was.
He was, yeah.
Okay, didn't even realize that. So, Gibson, I think, is a nice signing. He wasn't the kind of signing this team needed. It wasn't a home run. But I like that move when they made it. I'm excited about Antonio Gibson. I feel like Marcus Jones is a forgotten player. And maybe it's for good reason. He was hurt most of last season. I think he's going to factor in defensively. I thought he always looked competitive as a rookie defensively, and even early on last year before he got hurt.
Did you see him on offense at all?
Well, this is why I'm interested okay. and why I'm partly excited. I want to see him on offense. We talk about Travis Hunter and what kind of player he could be. That's not Marcus Jones. But between the new kickoff rule, mm-hmm. and I don't know that he's going to get any run on special teams, but he should.
Yeah.
Between that, between the way he can factor in on offense, I feel like there are reasons for optimism with him, reasons for excitement with him. And then I'll go with the rookie offensive lineman. Take your pick. Caden Wallace, who I don't think is going to start. So I would lean in on Laydon Robinson. They need help on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see if he can play. There were mostly good reviews, and then they had their debacle in the final preseason game where they couldn't line up. They were stepping on Drake May's feet. They were bad snaps, and on top of it, they couldn't block. So I want to see what those guys look like. Those are reasons to tune in, reasons for interest, and in some cases,
yeah,
reasons for excitement for the Patriots. But let's be honest, there's not a lot of interesting, exciting
names. Well, I do think it's the first non-Bill Belichick draft in 20 years, and how many hits are you going to have? And it doesn't mean that guys can struggle as rookies and then be good later in their careers. That happens too. But they took a lot of players in the draft. They took a lot of players at positions of need. Therefore, there should be a lot of opportunity for guys to play. By the end of the year, you might have two rookies on the O-line. You might have two rookies at wide receiver. You might even have that kid who's playing tight end. You might have, obviously, Drake May. So we could find out pretty early on.
Oh, yeah, Jaheim Bell. I didn't think about Jaheim Bell.
Like, there's a bunch of guys. And most people did not think of Jaheim Bell. But, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity. That's one thing that you do get with a bad team is, like, there's opportunity for guys to win jobs all season long.
So who's worth getting excited about? Aside from Drake May. We all get it with Drake May. We're all excited for him. We're not going to see him week one. Who are you excited to see, if anyone?
We might.
You could jump it. Well, we might. That's true. Not to start. Yeah. We might see him. Who are you excited to see? 617-779-7937. Along with what makes for an exciting Patriots season, a successful, I should say, Patriots season this year. Both Keith and I gave our list. We're curious to hear yours on the phones. A reminder, our football coverage is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We have Would You Rather on a Wednesday coming up at 11:20, misleading at 11:45. We'll look back at one of the leads from the Greg Hill Show and say why we disagree. But coming up next, let's get to the Red Sox. I think their season has been over for a while. Death march till the end of the year. And now a big star on the team is blowing off the media. How should we feel about that? We'll get to it next.
2-2 the pitch. He is strike three called. Bottom of the zone and the ball game is over. 7-2. The Mets win it. Boston continues its slide. And their playoff chances continue to dwindle. Offense continues to be stuck in neutral. They waste a good start from Cutter Crawford, and they'll have to try to salvage the finale tomorrow here in New York. 7-2 Mets.
I don't think they're going to be doing much salvaging.
No, Jones, it's over. Sadly, it's over. As much as I wanted it to at least be competitive and hold our attention for the final month of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's not happening.
No. It's now over and done with. We were toggling a little bit back and forth.
It's over.
It is. We're toggling back and forth a little bit. Like, it's three games. Make it 2.5 games.
What helped was Minnesota was not playing well, and then all of a sudden Kansas City just fell apart.
They lost again last night. The Royals lost again last night. They lost seven in a row.
Seven straight, and
you're not making up any ground.
No.
So, no, you're
done.
They're
gaining ground somehow. You're 4.5 games back of Kansas City, and oh, by the way, BT Dubs on this?
Tigers caught him, right?
Yeah, you're tied with the Tigers, and you're a game up on Seattle, who's also lost 4 in a row. So how does that happen? They're gaining ground on you while they're losing.
Okay, so they're done.
It's over.
We're not debating that anymore. It's done. Stick a fork in them.
They might not hit the over. Depending on what you did at the beginning of the year, if you bet over or under, all the lines and all the different books were a little bit different, but it was like 77.5, 78.5.
You know what I bet in the middle of the year, like in the middle of like April?
Over.
Over. Please, I bet the over by a mile. I bet 90 plus.
No.
It was like plus 700. Adam. It was like plus 700.
World Series.
Yeah, World Series.
No.
Yeah.
I bet I'm like 90 plus.
Endeavor's MVP.
They might not hit the over. What was it, 77.5?
It was low.
That's still in play if you bet the under.
They're a game over 500.
Yeah.
And when they lose tonight, it'll be 500 baseball.
And they are piling up losses like you read about.
It's wild.
So it's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's flagship station of the Red Sox. Oh, by the way.
Check them out tonight.
We have Would You Rather on a Wednesday, about a half an hour from now. We'll get to misleading at 11:45. One of the leads from the Greg Hill Show that we have some thoughts about that we'll get to next hour. Pete Abraham tweets out last night, it was a funeral-like atmosphere.
Yikes.
In the Red Sox clubhouse. Devers was at his locker in full uniform for about 30 minutes, holding a bat and staring straight ahead.
So not an Irish funeral. Because you can really get sauced up at some of these funerals, but that doesn't sound like it was one of those.
No.
It sounds like a sad
no,
one.
No, no, no.
A traditional sad funeral.
It does sound like okay. he Irish goodbye'd, though. Rafael Devers, after sitting at his locker for a game that ended around 9:45, I'm reading from Chris Smith at Mass Live, says he got up from his locker around 10:04. Okay, so here we go. This is a TikTok. A timing for you here.
Okay.
9:45, game ends. 10:04, he's sitting at his locker. He walks out. He comes back a few minutes later, sits down, and remains at his locker. Chris Smith continues. Devers did not speak. The media waited for him until 11 p.m. He was informed about an hour ago by the PR staff that they wanted to talk to him, meaning the media.
Yeah.
He could have just said no then. Instead, he made everyone wait and then refused to talk. So this is treacherous territory, Keith. We're members of the media-ish.
Ish.
You know, yeah. we're talk radio guys. We're not in the clubhouse.
No.
I don't miss it. That job is no fun waiting for athletes. But fans also don't want to hear belly aching about that.
No, I know most fans aren't sympathetic towards that aspect of it, but I think it's more what it means.
Right.
Like, are you the face of the team? Are you the voice of the team? And even if you felt the same way, like if there was a bad loss years ago, Xander Bogaerts was right there. Xander Bogaerts would be at his locker, and he would talk about it. And in part, so other guys don't have to do it. Even if he had a great game, maybe you'd take the blame for something. It's just kind of what a leader does, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in every sport, you sort of see it. And this kind of goes back to the thing where Rafael Devers is a really good baseball player. He is not the face of the team. He's not a team leader. He's none of those things.
No, like, by the way, if you argue with that, Cora said a million times he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to be the leader of the team. He's not the leader of the team. They've tried to shoehorn in Jaron Duran, which, whoopsie.
I don't know if he is either.
Whoopsie, yeah. When he's, you know, hurling out
hot
epithets
yep.
on hot mics. That's a hard guy to be your leader. And, yeah, they don't have a leader. And the reason they don't is because Devers isn't one, and he should be the face. He should be the leader. He's the highest-paid player.
You've got $300 million. You're like, you could maybe talk after a game and be
right.
like, yeah, this is disappointing for us. But actually, I'm going to sit here, then I'm going to disappear.
Right.
And then...
So I this is not sympathy for Pete Abraham whooping free hot dogs all night and having to stand around for an extra half hour picking his ass. That's not sympathy for that. It's just it speaks to a leadership void. I'm with you.
Yeah, because you know when things are going well, everybody's ready to talk. Everybody's ready to be like, yeah, can you believe we hit another home run? And look at us. We're winning these games. And then when you're losing, you're like, all right, who are we going to talk to in there? It's like, nobody. It's crickets. Like, nobody wants to take accountability for it. And so I think that's just one of the things with Devers. And I know at one point he was having a great year. Like, it's funny. He started the year, he wasn't hitting a lot of home runs. And
he,
then
he homered like 8 straight games, didn't he?
Then he had like a team record or whatever, and he was socking dingers all the time. And then he was kind of looking like he was going to have a career year at the plate, and now he's been dealing with multiple shoulder injuries.
He skipped the All-Star game.
And now he's going to have a year. Like, it's funny. Right now he has a 904 OPS for the year. 916 is his career high back in 2019. He's sitting at 28 home runs, so we'll see how this final month goes. He should get to 30 home runs. But he was the guy I think maybe most affected by Mookie Betts going and Xander Bogaerts going. And now it's like, all right, well, you're left. You're here. You got the payday, right? The Red Sox don't want to pay anybody. They paid you, but not the face, not the leader. Remember, he called out the front office at the beginning of the year through his interpreter in spring training. You're like, all right, that's maybe a good sign. But then, yeah, something like last night, just not a great look for him.
So how do they solve it? Like, how do you solve this
issue?
You
got to get a real leader.
How?
Justin Turner a year ago was. I think you need to rely on that kind of thing, because you're not going to change him. He's
I know
not
the
be
answer.
That
how I know he won't be. And the language barrier is like a real hurdle.
Mm.
But I don't think you need to be English speaking first to be the leader on the team. I don't think that has to happen. I do think it's an extra barrier, but it's not impossible. So I don't think that's it. The answer is they have to sign. Like, is Juan Soto a face of the team?
Good question.
Outward facing media guy? Because
yeah.
If he is, well, go sign him, John Henry.
Yeah.
That'd be my answer, but they're never going to do that.
Or like a Mookie Betts type.
Well, he would be a good one.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
would be an
yeah.
ideal one,
yeah.
kind
of. Yeah.
Or like a Xander Bogaerts type.
Oh, yeah, Xander.
That would be like an ideal one.
One
so you could have had one, maybe both, and you chose not to. So when I say how are they going to do it, I mean realistically how are they going to do it. I mean the answer is go sign a guy who can play,
mm-hmm.
helps your team on the field, but also is a leader off of it because you don't have one, they won't do that. So how are you going to be able to change that dynamic without spending money. I don't know how you do it.
You got to absolutely spend money. Because that's the other thing is, like, the guys with the biggest contracts immediately are the ones that you look to. And then if it's not them, you're like, wait, so now you're having some guy, like, on the veteran minimum. Like, he has to be the leader. That's kind of a weird role. It should be an everyday player, too. Like, it can't always be a pitcher. Can't always be a, you know, certainly a guy in the rotation who you see once a week or, you know, twice every 2 weeks. Devers, too, this is sort of as an aside. He signed that big contract, and he's definitely viewed as a really good player, and he's like a multi-time All-Star. You know, he's never been finished in the top 10 in the MVP vote in the American League, ever. And he was trending on maybe being there this year, but now that he's trending in the wrong direction, like, you look around the league, you know, the Yankees have two players better, the Orioles have a couple players better, Bobby Witt's better, like, there's, like, Jose Ramirez is better. There's a bunch of players better than Devers.
Do you think they regret the contract?
I think they probably do.
Overall. I mean, I think, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think they definitely do.
Yeah, no,
like,
they
we
do.
We paid all this money.
They probably regretted it the second they did.
This is why we don't spend money on guys.
Well, also because they signed it hoping to, it was really more for the fans, I think, than for Devers. Be like, all right, see, we are still the Red Sox. Like, we have money to spend, and that should shut them up. But then when you're like, yeah, like, he's good. Right, like, he's a good player, and he's a great complement to other guys. Like, if you had Mookie Betts and Devers, like, don't get me wrong, I want Devers in the lineup.
Me too.
Not sure I want him at third base, but I want him in the lineup for the next 10 years, whatever it is on his contract. But as far as being the face of the franchise, clearly that ain't it, which kind of goes to the young guys that we talk about all the time. There's even more pressure on them to quickly turn into, like, 25-year-old leader, like Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt, Adley Rutschman. Those guys are young, but they're faces of the franchise.
Yeah, but I do think that takes some time. They're all young, and they all came in and did it. But even if your idea is Roman Anthony, now number two, by the way,
number
on the baseball Baseball America top 100, he's number two.
Pretty good.
Marcelo Meyer is just outside the top 10. He's at 11. So even if your idea is those guys, well, when's that happening? And how soon is that transition going to happen?
A couple of years, I would think, at least.
So how do the Red Sox fix this? And do you think it's a reflection of a leadership void? Or are you just tired about the media complaining about how late they got to stay in the clubhouse?
Yeah, I get it.
617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. We have Would You Rather on a Wednesday coming your way about 25 minutes from now. Let's get back into the Patriots. And their former head coach, Bill Belichick, continues to pile up new gig after new gig after new gig. What's his ultimate goal? What's his end game with working in the media this year? Does he want to come back and coach? Is this his next career? Let's get into it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.